Continuing on in our series, Matthew chapter 5. And this morning we're coming to a passage. We're going to be asking the question, real rights or real life? Which is it going to be in your life? You know, in many countries throughout the world, the idea of retribution or the eye for an eye mentality has been used, and quite honestly, it's still used in some countries today. I read a story about this, apparently it's a true story, in this Middle Eastern country. A woman came to the king demanding her rights. It seems as though her husband had been killed by another gentleman. This gentleman was up in a date tree, and he was gathering dates, and he slipped and fell, and he fell on this woman's husband and killed him. And so she came to the king demanding her right of his life. Now, the king tried to persuade her not to insist, but she was adamant. And so the king said this to her. He said, "Yes, it's your right to ask for this man's life, but it's my right to decide how he shall die. We shall take this man immediately and tie him to the base of a palm tree. Then you yourself shall climb to the top of the tree and cast yourself down upon him from that height until he's dead." Well, needless to say, she rethought demanding her rights. And she changed her mind. And she realized at that point, that following the letter of the law and demanding her rights might mean that she would actually lose her life. And that's the way it is in our lives as well. Jesus, we come to a passage or portion of Jesus' sermon here where he wants us to understand that the Old Testament principle of just retribution was meant only for the courts and not for human relationships. Only for the courts and not for human relationships. Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. I want to begin at verse 38 this morning. And here Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." So before we get to the relationship piece of this, we have to understand the Old Testament law of just retribution. It's found in a lot of different places, but probably the best is Leviticus chapter 24. And it says this, "If anyone takes the life of a human being, he must be put to death. Anyone who takes the life of someone's animal must make restitution, life for life. If anyone injures his neighbor, whatever he has done must be done to him, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has injured the other, so he must be injured." Now, some have said this law in particular indicates how bloodthirsty the Old Testament laws were. They're misunderstanding the law. That's not true. All of these laws in the Old Testament were actually beginning to help society understand mercy and justice. In fact, they are foundational to almost every societal laws that have been in place in the history of mankind. And although they deal with retribution, their main purpose was not retribution. Their main purpose was to put restrictions upon retribution. In other words, if a person knocks someone's tooth out, you get a tooth. If you break somebody's arm, your arm gets broken. And the reason that's important is because from a human perspective, we like to retaliate when we've been wronged. And if that was allowed to go unchecked, who knows what would happen in any society? Because retaliation by nature always ups the ante. If you knock my tooth out, I'm going to knock two. Exactly. If you broke my arm, I'm going to break both of yours. That's retaliation. That's human nature. That's what we want to do. We not only want to get back what we lost, but a little interest with it. But here's the key. The most important thing to remember in the Old Testament law of just retribution is that it was never in the Old Testament an individual's choice. It was always decided by the court. It wasn't something that an individual could go and demand from somebody else. It was only decided by a judge in the law. In fact, people were never encouraged or even allowed to take retaliation matters into their own hands. It was, in fact, in Israel, it was hardly ever literally applied. You see, they were smart enough to understand that what was going to happen, that if someone knocked your tooth out, it really doesn't do you much good to get a tooth from them in return. You know, if your arm is broken, it really doesn't help you much if you break somebody else's arm. So quickly, the courts and the judges decided that what happened is they needed to put some type of qualification upon what a tooth was worth, say 100 bushels of wheat. And that's exactly how our court systems work today. They determine a value for what was lost, and they are compensated for it. So it's pretty obvious that the pattern that Jesus used, his main focus really wasn't on courts. It was on relationships. He wasn't interested really on swapping teeth or broken arms. He was trying to help us to understand how a misapplied law, how it dealt with us in our relationships and how it affected them. So instead of focusing upon laws and rights, he wants us to clearly see our need, focus on mercy, grace, and love. You know, whether it was on Jesus' day where there seemed to be an emphasis upon retribution in society, or somewhere in our society, which I don't think is all that different, Jesus is calling us to be different. Jesus is calling us to not be like everyone else around us. He's calling us to be different from the people who are just churchgoers. And he's calling us to be different from the world that we live in. And he recognized that one of the struggles that they were having in that first century was this eye for an eye mentality was being applied to relationships. And the problem with all of that is in our society, we talk about inalienable rights, don't we? And Jesus understood that at some point, your inalienable rights are going to come in conflict with my inalienable rights. Happens all the time. And if we insist upon our rights in those situations, what is going to happen? Boom. It's going to be a clash. And it has the potential of creating stress and problems in personal relationships, in marriages, in churches, everywhere, if both parties insist upon their rights. And so Jesus wants to address this issue. And he does it by talking about four relationship pollutants, things that will pollute our relationship. And in this passage, he gives to us four of them. And the first attitude that pollutes relationships, that harms relationships, is this: don't insult my dignity. Jesus said in verse 38 and 39, "You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you." We've seen that several times. We've heard that phrase several times. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more next week. Jesus contrasts, "You have heard," and then he goes, "but I tell you." That should be a clue for you. Look at that, and this is what Jesus expects. He says, "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Now, Jesus wasn't referring to the physical damage that takes place when somebody smacks you in the side of the face, although that hurts sometimes. What he was talking about here is a loss of dignity. In those days, in a slap across the backhanded slap across the side of the face was the greatest way you could insult someone and rob them of their dignity. In fact, the Irish have taken that thought and they have a saying. I don't have an Irish accent, sorry. The Irish say it this way: "The back of my hand to you," which literally means "you're scum." The worst insult you can get. So imagine the look on the disciples' face when Jesus was teaching this, and he says, "You have every right to take someone to court who slaps you. You do. You may even have the right and the ability to stop them from slapping you. But that's not what I want you to do. I want you to turn the other cheek and let them have your dignity a second time." That goes against everything within us, doesn't it? Jesus is telling us that relationships become polluted if I somehow feel that my dignity is more important than the relationship. It's not the physical act that's the issue. It's the issue of an attitude. If you're more concerned with your own dignity or your own rights, your relationship is in trouble. The second pollutant that Jesus talks about is, don't interfere with my security. He says in verse 40 this: "And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well." Now, the normal reaction in this situation is, if someone wants to sue us, that we hire an attorney to protect our rights. But that wasn't Jesus' approach. His was a little different. He says if we're really serious about being righteous people, then we will give the person who is suing us for our possessions even more than what they're suing us for, to avoid the risk of severing the relationship. Now this was a off-the-wall idea in Jesus' day, and it's probably more of an off-the-wall idea today. No one in their right mind in Jesus' day gave up their cloak. In fact, the courts forbid a cloak from being part of what they could get in retribution. It was so important that the cloak wasn't included. If you sued somebody and all of their possessions were yours, it didn't include the cloak. Why? Because that was the outer garment. They considered that so essential that that couldn't be something that you would get if you sued somebody. Well, Jesus says one of the inalienable rights that we hold on to very tightly is our own security. But Jesus' idea here is, he says, if we're more concerned with our own security, then the relationship is doomed. Well, the third attitude that pollutes the relationship is this: don't impose on my privacy. And in verse 41, Jesus said this: if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. First century, the Jews that Jesus was speaking to were under Roman authority. In fact, they had very few rights in that society. It was common and actually legal for a Roman soldier to see a Jewish person and demand of them that they carry their belongings. They could be walking down the road with a big backpack on. Didn't matter how much. And they could stop a Jewish person on the street and demand that they carry their burden, no matter what it was. But there was one stipulation. They could only carry it, they only had to carry it 1 mile. So if you were in that situation like the Jews were, you would do exactly the same thing. They knew exactly how far a mile was. They measured it by steps. It was exactly 1,000 steps equaled 1 mile. And so what the Jewish people would do is the Roman soldier demanded they carry it. They would get to 1,000 steps. They would stop, take the burden off, put it down, and go back to doing what they wanted to do, what they were doing in the first place. So into that cultural context, into that situation, Jesus says to his followers, I want you to carry their luggage 2 miles instead of one. In other words, do the first mile for Caesar because you're legally required to do, but do the second mile out of kindness and generosity for God. You see, Jesus is saying to us that if we're to do our tour of duty, if we want to do what is right, if we want to have healthy relationships in the body of Christ, then we need to do more than what is required. Don't be so demanding of our privacy. One more attitude that pollutes our relationships talks about in verse 42, and that is, don't infringe on my property. It says, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. This is one that we struggle with, I think. We all have a sense of holding on to what is ours, protecting our own stuff. And in this remarkable command, Jesus is telling us to give up that right. In modern terminology, I think he's saying, if you want to pollute a relationship, here's how to do it. Insist that nobody infringe upon your rights. According to the Old Testament, debts were canceled every 7 years. They called it the year of Jubilee. And as you can imagine, the borrowers loved it. Just think about that in your life. If all your debts were canceled every 7 years. The lenders weren't quite so thrilled with this whole idea. So here's the scenario. Let's say someone comes to you in the sixth year of the cycle, and they want to borrow money. You likely are going to think twice about loaning them that money because you know that they only have 1 year to pay it back. Jesus is challenging his audience here to not allow the seventh year to govern their decision. Now, because we live in the 21st century, I have to say this. We're not talking about panhandlers. We're not talking about loaning money for business ventures. That didn't take place in Jesus' day. What he's talking about is that people who had real needs in their life. And Jesus is telling us that the only consideration we should have in our lives in that situation is whether we can help them or not. And if we can, we are to give to them generously without thought of repayment. So, this sounds really odd, doesn't it? This sounds really bizarre. This sounds like, is this really what Jesus is saying? I mean, doesn't he know that we're Americans? So how do we sum up these five verses? What is it that Jesus is really trying to get to in this section of the Sermon on the Mount? I think this is the key theme through it. He says, if we're sincerely interested in real relationships, then we are not going to seek our rights. Now, I know that this sticks in our craw. Some of them more than others. And I think one of the reasons we have a hard time swallowing it is because of our American mentality that pushes inalienable rights. The last thing I want to do is sound unpatriotic, but I'll risk it. I'll risk it because I want to sound Christian. See, as Americans, we one of the things that we struggle with is we get this democratic state that leads us to what's in it for me mentality. What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? And if you're honest, that's what most Americans struggle with. It's what we struggle with. But in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is laying out a Christian mentality, a mentality that says we are to be different. When we're insulted, we have the right to retaliate, but Jesus is saying we should not exercise it. When we're treated unjustly, we have the right to our own possessions, but we're to give them up. When we're imposed upon, we have the right to set limits, but Jesus says don't insist upon them. When someone has a need, we have the right to our own money. But Jesus is telling us not to be tight-fisted about it. In other words, instead of being right, we are to be gracious and loving in all of our relationships. We do have rights, real rights. But sometimes in real life, real relationships develop and mature that honor God, that gives us the opportunity to surrender those rights. So there's a family out eating. And they were at a local restaurant and they were having a great meal. And, you know, just before their food came, they bowed their heads. And the little boy, 6-year-old, wanted to pray. Okay, and as parents have more of a hard time with this. Grandparents think it's funny, but parents probably are a little concerned about this. They go, okay. I mean, it's one thing for a 6-year-old to pray at home, because no matter what comes out of his mouth, it's home. But in a restaurant, but parent took the risk. And this is what the little boy prayed in a loud voice, of course. God is good. God is great. And God, I'd even thank you more if mom and dad let us get ice cream for dessert. And liberty and justice for all. Amen. Like I said, I don't think the grandparents would have nearly the problem the parents would have over that one. Well, mom and dad just kind of smiled, you know. And the older siblings did what older siblings do. They rolled their eyes. But over the laughter from some of the other customers nearby, this woman said this out loud. That's what's wrong with this country. Kids today don't even know how to pray, asking God for ice cream. Why? I never. Well, hearing this, the little boy burst into tears. And he turned to his dad and he said, Did I do something wrong? Is God mad at me? Well, dad held him and assured him that no, he'd done a terrific job and God wasn't mad with him. In a minute or so, an elderly gentleman approached the table. He winked at the little boy and he said this, I happen to know that God thought that your prayer was great. The little boy said, really? The guy says, cross my heart. Then he glanced at the woman and in a whisper, he said to the boy this, "Too bad she never asks God for ice cream. A little ice cream is good for the soul sometimes." Well, mom and dad had to buy the kids ice cream at the end of the meal. You know that. So when the little boy gets his bowl of ice cream, he stared at it for just a moment, and then he did something remarkable. He picked up his ice cream bowl, and without a word to his parents, he walked over to this lady. And he put it down in front of her, and this is what he told her. "Lady, this is for you. Ice cream is good for the soul sometimes, and my soul is good already." Oh, the mouth of babes, right? Here's the point. Each of us has rights to our own ice cream, or our own time, or our own possessions, or our own privacy, or our own security. But Jesus reminds us that someone may need it more than you do. And so if you're serious about being a fully devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a choice to make. Real relationships or real rights. God is asking us this morning, are you willing to surrender your rights for the sake of others? As we close this morning, let's pray together. Lord, on a day that we remember and have celebrated your willingness to give up your very life in order to redeem us from our terminal sin condition that condemns us to an eternity in hell, would you help us to be willing to surrender our rights for the sake of others? Just as you have dealt with us in grace, would you help us to be gracious towards others? Just as you have responded to us in love, would you help us to respond to others from a heart of compassion and mercy? Lord, we are grateful that you respond to us according to your great mercy and grace and your love. Thank you, Father, that you don't respond to us how we deserve. Help us to imitate that response as we deal with one another and to everyone else that we come in contact with. Father, help us to choose life in you instead of demanding our rights in all of our relationships. We ask this in the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.